Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Several announcements. If you take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down, have a record of your attendance, we would appreciate it. And let you know, we do have a children's sermon this morning following Greeting God's Family. Volunteers are needed in preparation for the monthly luncheon. You can read about that. Coming down and helping. Lorraine Kelly cleaned the kitchen. We really do need to get that done. Scripture readers, you can sign up at the back. We've got one for August 3rd. Shop for a Cause, August 23rd. You can buy those tickets through B.J. Morrison. You can see I'll be on vacation after today, and we've got some good preachers lined up. John White, Paige Creech, our very own Paul McComb, and Betty Angelini. So hope that you'll come out to hear them. I remind you about the haircutting by Ann Fogolini. I have Studio Raw on Babcock Boulevard. And if you go and get your hair cut there, every Monday from 12 to 6, from July through September 30th, she's donating half of her proceeds to the church. That's a very nice thing. Not too early to think about the pig roast. So if you need some donation letters, you can see Kathy Segi, or I think there's some at the back on the table. Tropical Punch Fellowship, August 3rd after worship. Cookie donations are welcome. You can see a donation. The Victory Garden will deliver vegetables the first three Tuesdays of the month. Make sure they're on the water barrel table on Monday evening at 7 o'clock. Any questions, see Kathy Segi. Deacons are packing the backpacks on August the 10th. Still need 49. Please consider donating school supplies for the many children in need. I believe there's a list on the table in the back. And I think you got one in your bulletin on a sheet. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise is "This Is My Father's World," number 58.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you for sending Jesus into our world. We praise you because of the promises made in Scripture. Forgive us when we do not seek your kingdom. Remind us of the value of true faith. Help us understand that treasures you offer are worth more than anything else in life. May we open our hearts and minds to your kingdom today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins.
We are saved by grace through faith.
This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into the hell. The third day,
greet one another. Getting ready to have a children's sermon, so any of the kids, come on down. Big kids, little kids, old kids, come on down. Young at heart. Wow, it's a group.
Look at this, it's wonderful.
Good morning. I'm so happy to see so many of you this morning. Lately, Pastor Leonard has been talking to us grown-ups about worry and telling us to stop looking at this. You guys ever worry about stuff?
Aw.
Yes.
Somebody's worried. On Christmas Eve, Toad cooked a big dinner and decorated the tree. Frog his legs, says Toad. Toad looked at his clock, but he remembered it was broken. The hands of the clock didn't move. So Toad opened the front door and he looked out into the night. Frog wasn't there. I am worried, said Toad. What if something terrible has happened to Toad, said Toad. What if Frog has fallen into a deep hole and can't get out? I will never see him again. Toad opens the door once more. Frog is not on the path. What if Frog has lost his in the woods, said Toad. What if he is cold and wet and hungry? What if Frog is being chased by a big animal with many sharp teeth? What if he is being eaten up? My friend and I will never have Christmas together. Toad found some rope in the cellar. I will pull Frog out of the hole with this, said Toad. Toad found a lantern in the attic. He said, Frog will see the light and I will show him the way out of the woods, said Toad. Toad found a frying pan in the kitchen. I will hit that big animal with this, said Toad, and all of his teeth will fall out. Frog, do not worry, cried Toad. I am coming to help you. Toad ran out of the house. There was Frog. Hello, Toad, he said. I'm sorry to be late. I was wrapping your present. You're not at the bottom of a hole? No, said Frog. You're not lost in the woods? No, said Frog.
Maybe he is on the
dumpster. Maybe so. You are not being eaten by a big animal? No, not at all. Oh, Frog, I am so glad to be spending Christmas with you. Did anything that Toad worried about come true? I find that most of the things that I worry about don't happen either. But I know there is someone that I can give my worry to, and then I can stop worries. Can anybody tell me that? Yes? Pardon? Who do you think we might go to if we have a big worry that we can't handle?
Jesus or God?
Jesus or God, absolutely. If you find that you're worried about something, all you have to do is say a little prayer. That prayer gives all your worries to God, puts the problems in God's hands, and you can stop worrying about it. Taking time to say a little prayer is a lot better way to spend your time than sitting around worrying about it. God is there for all of us, and he wants to take care of us, and he will be happy to take on your worries. Let's say a little prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these children. We ask that you take their worries from them and free their minds. We thank you for the care that you give all of us. Thank you for this very special congregation and this lovely day. Now, before you go, I would like to give you each copies of the book. Let's see how many of you have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, yeah, just a couple books. Henry, would you like to pass the news out here, please? The story that I read you is in this book. And there are some other fun stories about Frog and Toad looking at the rain. You want to see them down there. Thank you. I thank you all for listening. And just remember, if you pray about it, you don't have to worry about it. Say thank you.
Let us all lift our souls to another.
Reading 696 in the hymnals, the 24th Psalm, 696, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
It's time I call Elder on the door to come forth.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
We have a prayer request from John and Diane Croyle. Their cousin Charlie Gray has been moved from St. Margaret's to hospice, and he is not expected to live, I'm assuming, much longer. Prayers for Charlie and healing for Wendy, Kevin, and the rest of the Gray family. Prayer request from Kathy Saggy for John. He will, tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Children's, he's going to be having dental surgery. Pray that all goes well, that they are able to control the pain, that he'll have quick healing, and his beautiful smile is back. Prayer request from Kathy for Candy Binkert. She is a cousin. Okay. Prayers that infection is controlled and for healing. And she also has diabetes. So prayers, and during infection, that's really difficult. So prayers that they're able to get that under control. And a praise request from Mary and Dave Slover. It was Tuesday, I believe, Mary, was it Tuesday, that so many members of the church helped with the funeral, Melanie's funeral service, and praise for the generosity and all the skill and talent shared. Thank you.
Charlie's at Canterbury Place. I'll be going over right after the service to visit with him and Wendy. Talked to Wendy last night. Mary Ellen Porter was in the hospital. She's back at the Haven, but she needs prayers. I think they need to keep her on antibiotics. And I'd like you to pray. We had a meeting after church last Sunday and had to take $20,000 out of an investment fund. Don't really like to do that unless we have to. And so took $10,000 out for immediate finance and put $10,000 in the money market, which money market only gives you about 1% interest. But summer donations have been down. That's not unusual, but they seem to be down a little bit more this year than other years. So if you're holding back and saving up, go ahead and turn it loose. When I come back and we have the Deacon's Barbecue, we're also going to have another Back to Church on Sunday like we did last year. I've already ordered the materials and received them. And then we're going to have and show a film. I've got the license and the film. You've probably seen it advertised on TV entitled God Is Not Dead. It's about a student and his professor, and the professor is making them say God is dead, and one student rebels against it, and then he's got to fight back with the professor. And I think it'll be very interesting. And then I'm going to preach a sermon series, probably about 4 weeks to go along with that. So give us something to look forward to, and so I'm asking to be in prayer for it also. For God is not dead, and advertise it to the community and the Back to Church Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, believing that you are our Heavenly Father and that we are your children. So we come to you asking that you help us, that you minister to us through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the power of your people. Where we can minister to one another, let us do so with a sense of love and mercy and peace. Lord, we thank you for the kingdom of God, understanding that it is a treasure here upon this earth that we can be a part of. And help us to fully commit to finding that treasure and opening up ourselves to it, that we can have a full relationship with you and the full benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God. Part of that, we lift up all these names to you, all these situations, some very dire. We ask that you be involved and that the people will feel your presence and your love. Touch them just as they need to be touched. Touch them and heal them in the way that they need to be healed. We thank you for all your love and compassion. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have a screen song this morning. Shout to the Lord.
us with, and you've given your Holy Spirit to us. We love you, and we thank you for loving us back. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to bring our tithes and our offerings into your home. We thank you for all the gifts that you've given to us that we can use for your glory, that others can hear the name of Jesus and believe and find salvation and eternal life and the abundant life here, even upon this earth. Thank you for being with us. Lord, let us be with one another, and let us reach out and proclaim the name of Christ to our community. In his precious name we do pray.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. It's entitled, The Parables of the Hidden Treasure and the Pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the reading for this morning.
In 1905, there was a baseball game played in Salt Lake City. A team called the Rhyolites were playing against a team called the Beatties. And the Beatties were up at bat. Pitcher threw the ball, the batter swung, and the ball rocketed towards first base. William Griffiths, the first baseman, saw the ball coming his way. Then he watched in amazement as he saw the ball hit a small stone and then bounce right up into his glove because he didn't think he was going to make the play. And then he beat the runner easily to first base to tag him out. The little stone had given Griffiths a lucky break. But he decided it had no business on the playing field. So he walked over and he picked it up. He raised his hand to throw it off the field when something caught his eye. He took a careful look at the stone and recognized it was no ordinary stone. He saw a glimmer of gold in this rock. He quietly slipped it in his pocket and went on with the ball game. That evening, he returned to the ball field with a lantern, and he spent an hour scratching around in the dirt, gathering rocks. And then he took it and had them assayed the next morning and found out they were worth about $900 a ton. He called two of his friends, and they quietly got their money together, pulled it together, and bought that ball field. This is beginning to sound like one of Jesus' parables, isn't it? The mine was called First Base. And the first shaft struck ore at a depth of only 33 feet. He became a very, very wealthy man. Jesus once said, the kingdom of heaven is like that stone that changed the life of William Griffith. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then his joy went and sold it and bought that field. Who doesn't like a treasure hunt? A couple who recently walking around, uncovered $10 million in coins. What a treasure to find. People in our church property all the time with their finders looking for hidden treasures. Who hasn't dreamed of finding a buried treasure, even as a small child hunting for that treasure? And who hasn't dreamed of winning the lottery? Las Vegas and Atlantic City are filled with dreamers searching for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and so is Wall Street. This is one of Jesus' parables that we can relate to, because human nature has not changed very much since the very beginning. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Obviously, Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is a great prize. Earthly treasures certainly are. And why are they? Because of the improvement that treasures and money can bring to human lives. Have you heard of the Mount Morgan gold mine in Queensland, Australia? It's one of the richest gold mines in the world. Yet for many years, the people who lived on that land lived in abject poverty. Deep, deep poverty. The earth beneath their feet contained vast wealth, but it was out of sight, and they did not know that it was there. They did not know what lay underneath the ground. When they discovered what was beneath their feet, it changed their lives tremendously. In the same way, the kingdom of God can transform our lives if we will only allow it to do so. Of course, earthly treasure doesn't always improve one's life. Ask most lottery winners if it really improved their lives. Evidence is that it has not improved the majority of people's lives. Some report that winning the lottery was the worst thing that ever happened to them. People think to themselves, if I could just strike it rich, all my problems would be over. And generally, that's untrue. But why is it untrue? Because happiness doesn't come from outer circumstances. Happiness comes from an inner assurance. If you're not happy with $1,000 in the bank, you're probably not going to be happy with $1,000,000 in the bank, because you'll need two and then three. As someone has said, happiness is an inside job. When Oprah Diva Beverly Sills was asked if she is happy, she replied that in view of the tragedies that have happened in her life, she couldn't say that she was happy, but she said, I am cheerful. Her tragedies include one of her children being deaf and other mentally challenged. Commenting on Sills' statement about being cheerful, Dr. Brickley says that most people know how to be cheerful. However, few people know how to be happy. Think about that for a moment. Most people know how to be cheerful, but very few people know how to be happy. Cheerful is a mood that is light, free, open. Often the pitch of your voice goes up, you're happy, and you feel good. Cheerful is something that most people can obtain in their life. However, notes Brickley, most people, when they try to be happy, are usually miserably disappointed. That's because happiness is a byproduct of living with a sense of purpose, perspective, and appreciation. When people try to be happy, they usually seek out some type of activity that will make them happy, something like going to an amusement park. Oh, that's wonderful. That'll be exciting. That will make me happy. However, after enjoying such pleasures, they typically are left with a feeling of what's next? Isn't there more? Is this all that there is? Being cheerful is literally as easy as whistling a happy tune. You can choose to be cheerful, but not so much with happiness. You really can't choose it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You really can only open yourself up to happiness. Happiness is yielding control of your life to God if you want true happiness. The most miserable people to me are those who do not have a relationship with God, and then those who have a relationship with God but do not walk with God. Sometimes we're puzzled when we read Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God means allowing God not just to be around you, but to be in you and to rule over your life. When you open yourself to God and ask God to take charge of your life and allow God to make changes, whatever changes in your life that need to be changed, in order for you to be all that you can be, all that God has created you to be, then you discover that sense of purpose, perspective, and appreciation that is the essence of happiness. The problem is we fight the will of God because we think we know what is best for us. No, God, that's not best. That's not what I want to do. So we go off on our own way, our own tangents. Norman Zimmer was a popular singer with the Lawrence Welk Orchestra. Some of you remember that. Norma had a difficult childhood as a result of her parents drinking, alcoholics. Singing was her escape, and as a high school senior, Norma was invited to be a featured soloist at the University Christian Church in Seattle, Washington. When her parents heard that she was going to sing a particular song, they decided that they would go. they insisted on attending the service. She tells about that service. She said, I still glanced at the congregation, trying to see where my parents were. Then in horror, I saw them weaving down the aisle in a state of intoxication, barely able to walk. They were late. Few seats were left. The congregation stared. I do not know how I made it through that morning. After she sang and took her seat, she said her heart was pounding and her cheeks were burning from embarrassment. And the pastor preached on the verse from the Psalms, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Norma said, my own troubles seemed to bear down on me with a tremendous weight. And I realized how desperate life in our family was without God being at the center of our family relationships. And that day, I recommitted my life to Him. Jesus came into my life not only as my Savior, but for my daily strength and my daily guidance. See, so many people accept Christ and then they just kind of put Him over here. Okay, I'm going to heaven. Now just leave me alone until it's time to die. Don't bother me. So many people are trying to live without God. And many give us the illusion that all is going well in their life. Many are quite cheerful as long as their life is going their way, the way that they want it to go, the way that they have it planned or mapped out. But ultimately, there, I don't think, is any real joy, no lasting happiness without God at the center of your life and your relationships. Trusting God and giving God control of your life is the key to victory in every situation in life. It doesn't mean that everything in life will always turn out the way that you want it to, because it will not. But being in control of your life, giving control of your life to God, instead of you being in the ultimate control, will give you strength to find meaning for every situation, whether difficult or pleasurable. A shipwrecked sailor was thrown onto a rock where he clung to great danger until the tide went down. Later, a friend asked him, Jim, didn't you fear when you were hanging on that rock? He said, yes, I feared greatly, but the rock did not shake. Trusting God and giving God control of your life is the rock on which we build a joy-filled life. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation, the one to whom we should look for strength and sustenance. There is no treasure in this world comparable to knowing that. Whatever life may send you, you are in God's hands because you are a child of God. But there's a responsibility on your part to listen to God, to go with God, to pray, to read your Bibles. Maybe you know the story of a young black girl from Birmingham, Alabama, who was determined to be a concert pianist and a figure skater. Quite an ambitious thing. This was in the 1960s when Birmingham was not exactly conducive to such dreams for an African-American child. Her parents, who themselves had dreams for her and hopes and expectations, named her with an Italian musical term that means to play with sweetness. Sweetness discovered at a young age the cruel legacy of racism. As a young lady, she was not allowed to use the dressing room of a local department store. It was labeled whites only. Her family attempted to eat at a restaurant after the Civil Rights Act was passed in 1964, and they were greeted with silence and stares. Some people would have become bitter, but not sweetness. It was only made her more determined to succeed. It was her faith in God that made the difference. She trusted God. She said she approached each setback, each insult, each failure as part of a powerful script that God had written in her life. She didn't make it as a professional figure skater. She didn't make it as a concert pianist. God had something else planned for her. On September the 11th, 2001, a voice on the telephone informed President George W. Bush that the United States of America was under attack. It was the voice of a woman who at the time may have been the most powerful woman in the United States. And she informed the president of the attack. She implemented emergency procedures to protect the president and all his staff, to give them the safety. She also assured the leaders of the world that the United States government was still up and it was running. It was the voice of a young lady from Alabama whose name in Italian literally means to play with sweetness. You and I know her as Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State of the United States, still one of the most respected women in our nation. She credits her parents, of course, but more than anything else, she credits her faith in God. Truly, that faith has been such a treasure surpassing the value of anything else in this life. Christ offers us the same treasure today. The kingdom of God at work in each and every one of our lives. Not just every once in a while, but on a daily basis. God within us, God beside us, God giving us strength to face and to live each and every day, regardless of the obstacles and the difficulties that life will throw at us. The treasure is worth selling everything else in this life in order to obtain it. But the beauty of it is it doesn't cost you anything. It is a free gift. All you have to do is open yourself to God's gift, to God's kingdom, and allow it to be a part of your life and to take over. Let God in. Let God all the way in. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, Beyond the Sunset, 548.
Haircut. It's Ann here on the second row. One of the nice haircuts. to think about that and about getting the backpacks together for the students and maybe helping getting things ready for back to church Sunday and the barbecue. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope that you felt the kingdom of God here with you today. I hope that you've invited Christ into your heart, into your mind, into your soul, to be a part not just of a way to heaven, but a part of your everyday life and who you are as a human being. And go back out into the world in a relationship way and help others to find Christ. Help them find this hidden treasure. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.